what's left to help salvage what is pretty much gone away, gone astray. And we are going to do that by knowledge. Jesus said very carefully, he said, my people are gone into captivity because of a lack of knowledge. Now, when he referred to my people, that's the people he died for at the cross and came out of that graveyard to give his spirit to. He wasn't talking about only the redeemed. He was talking about the people that he came to save. And if he came and sacrificed on that level, certainly we can sacrifice on a level commensurate with that and produce in our city a very fresh hope. The Bible said we're saved by hope, and oftentimes that's where it starts. Just some fresh hope. Hope for marriage, hope for child-parent relationship, hope for the city, and certainly hope for the resurrection. What wonderful preaching we heard this weekend, and so blessed by this young couple. And we are also blessed to have Brother and Sister Rios with our youth tonight, and you be continuing to pray with and for them. So, did we get that, Brother Micah? Okay. And I cannot thank Brother Micah enough. He arranged a meeting with a very reputable company this week, and we met yesterday, and pretty much are going to need to renovate everything. We were going to try to add to what we had in the way of PA equipment and media equipment, but we're having to revisit that in order to really give the future what it needs in our church. So obviously that will take more than the $35,000 that we allocated. And so I would encourage some of you to be assessing what you can do to help that. And I thought Brother Micah had a very great idea, and that is we could take some monthly payments, and there are people that could give $5,000 or $10,000 over the next 16 months or so by doing that. There'd be no interest on that. It'd just be a payment. And so be thinking how you could help us to subsidize that. Okay. All right, let's move into this as quickly as we can. And in the beginning of tonight, I want us to stop, and I want us this to be in our mind. But I want to ask everybody, first of all, we're going to bow our head and pray. And we're going to ask God to forgive us of anything that might hinder his glory in our personal life. And you can just whisper that or say it out loud, but I want us to take a minute. I'm confident the Lord encouraged me about these two things that we're about to do. Now, Father, I ask you to forgive me for anything that might hinder your glory working in my life, mine and my wife's marriage, my relationship with people in this city, and particularly my relationship with people in this church community. I ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now, I want us to pray this next prayer to forgive anybody that's done any wrong to you. You feel infringed on, you feel like somebody's violated you in any way. Now, here's the reason. He said, if you don't forgive them, you can't be forgiven. That's huge. And so our next prayer is, forgive those who have trespassed against me. That's in the Lord's Prayer, and it is the righteousness of God that produces the glory of God, first of all, to us and through us. So tonight, God, we forgive others who have trespassed against us, who have done us wrong, who have misbehaved concerning our life, abusive language, abusive actions, we just forgive them because you have forgiven us. It's so easy for us to forgive them, not to make decisions concerning what they did to us, but to be able to freely give to them love and mercy and grace. This coming year, I cry out in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now, it's with a mind that's clear and a heart that's pure, it's much easier to receive. And I encourage you to pray that prayer without me leading us in it every day. If you will take that to heart and pray that prayer, because here's what the book said. If any of us say we have no sin, the truth is not in us, and we are a liar. And the worst person we could lie to is ourselves. And that flesh is wicked all the way through. And that's why I said, if any man would be my disciple, he must deny this flesh the opportunity to have a voice in where our future is and what leads us there. So I'm going to try to do the best I can this year in helping us. And I am dedicated to revealing the glory of our King. And I hope that as we move through this year, that you will be dedicated to revealing the glory of Jesus Christ. Our God reigns over all the earth. You would think by now that the whole world would understand. As many that have desires to try to change the activity of the weather, as many as have desires to stop the murders and the hate and all the schemes that are going on in our schools and homes, the hurts, the disappointments, the sicknesses because of malnourishment. You would think that people would understand that the law of the Spirit cannot be broken. It cannot. There is not going to be a law of even the earth, gravity, until God says, and he pulls the handle on gravity. Somebody asked me one time, said, how in the world do you think God's going to get us out of here? I said, man, do you know you're spinning in a circle a million miles an hour? All he's got to do is switch gravity off. You're gone. I don't know what you're thinking that's going on, but the only hell, Brother Eric, you don't know if you're upside down right now, hanging off the edge of the wall, a world. It's a round ball. And all things to us, and all things and us, should be surrendered to him, the glory due his name. And I want us to, during these services, to commit and make sure we're committed to revealing his glory from our hearts, from our homes, from our experiences, the glory of his kingdom operating in the earth now, assuring every distant person, every backslidden person, not so much getting on to them, but getting a hold of them with love and trying to let them know he's not going to change in his tremendous effort to save you. Now, he'll become anything he has to. He'll be a pillar of cloud by fire, a pillar of cloud by day. He'll be whatever. He'll be Aaron's rod that budded. He'll be any of that, the scepter out of the east. I mean, he has become so many things. So the thing we know he don't change in is becoming whatever he has to do or to be or who to send or how to get it to us. He's not going to stop changing in his effort to save us. That's his what he don't change in. I'm going to save you. I'm going to do everything I can to save you. That's my goal. That's my effort. So he appeared in theophanies in the Old Testament. He appeared at Abraham's door as a theophany, as a man in human form, and suddenly the guy's gone. He's phenomenal, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to be visiting your homes real faithfully. That's going to be a wonderful event as long as you welcome him. His plan is simple. He made it very clear in the book of John. I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. Now, he did go, so we have no doubt he'll be back. Look for him. Look every day. If you believe and obey the word in faith accordingly, and allow Christ to commend you tonight in the scripture that will be coming in a minute. The scribe said unto him, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices, and that includes the entire Old Testament. Now, I want to help this to stay in your mind and heart. The God of the Old Testament is just simply the God of the New. There is no change in deity. He said in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, having found fault with the way it was, people could operate in it, having found fault with that. Now, if God found fault with something, surely we can find our faults. He is a tremendous example to us about things like that. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, or the man was careful, he looked at that man who said this and said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Christ made it very clear, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The oneness of God is not debatable. It's not an argument. There is one God, and there is only one voice we are to listen for that. The whole purpose of that, we find it again in Paul's writing, when in the 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, he said, I fear that the last day church, the people that are here close to the end, will lose their future just like Adam and Eve did. Well, when you study that, you know what happened. They listened to one other voice, and lost their future because they listened to one other voice. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is not an argument. It is a distinctive. It is a definition. It is a glory. And to be able to identify your actions with that one voice, that's huge. It ought to make us desire every day to fall out of that bed and do what he said. Seek first the kingdom every morning. I'm reporting for another day of glory. I'm reporting for another day to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify our Father which is in the heavens but lives in my home. Could we praise him for that great revelation? John 10 and 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Who can argue that? They can come up with all kind of concoctions and all kind of what humans call smart ideas. But if Jesus said it, he's the one that went away. He's the one that's coming back. I just sort of encourage you to believe in him. He said, I and my Father are one. Then he said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you do know him, because if you've seen me, you've seen him. That's phenomenal stuff, but it's not to be argued. When somebody wants to argue with you, just tell them, I don't argue that stuff. If you can't believe what's exact in the Word, if you want to try to tear it all apart, and try to make it something that he said exactly, I and, how hard is that to get? I mean, even I can get that. And I'm probably about the lamest mental person here, just sort of looking out over the crowd before I said it. The oneness of God, our one voice, is the beginning of His glory. When you get lined up with the purpose, the passion, the power, and the provision, there's nothing going to stop you. That's why I said, I'm going to build a church that will listen to one voice, and they will have one covenant, and they will have one future, and I will be the one power. That's the oneness of God. That one voice governing my life. I'm not going to let Sam down the street with 15,000 votes for his life outvote the one that come out of the graveyard. Masses can't save us. We've already proved that. Physical government can't recondition America. What's going to recondition America, that revival that's coming according to Zechariah, the 14th chapter, that's what's going to revive thy works in the midst of the years, and in wrath make known mercy, according to Habakkuk. Ladies and gentlemen, those prophecies are in place. It's more likely that you could harness the sun and put it in the ocean than to stop that promise of God from happening. Well, I don't want to be out here playing games with devils when God is calling me, be ye followers of me and follow me, and I will make you saved, strong, glorious, powerful, victorious. I'm telling you, you can't follow Him part-time and get it done. But if you'll follow Him all the time, you will sense a unbelievable, phenomenal glory. And that's why we started with forgiving ourselves and forgiving others and asking God to forgive. Deuteronomy here at 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It was one Lord back then, and it's one Lord when you get to the book of Revelations. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and I looked, and on the throne there was one that sat on the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, our problem is getting the people that talk about it to live it. I wouldn't spend time arguing with an infidel for nothing. They're not going to believe it. They're not going to accept it. You just wear yourself out. He said, I'm going to feed the hungry. I'll never forget, years ago, I told the young men, I said, look, if I could teach you what Jesus did on the hillside and fed those people the loaves and the fishes, would you be interested if I could teach you to do that? They said, Brother Murray, yeah, you'll start mumbling around, you know. I said, I can teach you to do that. Of course, their mind went to the loaves and fishes. What I was going to tell them, and what I did tell them, he met a need. And you can do that. The need is not loaves and fishes in America. The need is hope. And you can feed it. And you can break off a little of your hope and just keep breaking it off and keep breaking it off. And when you get through with the day, you're going to have more hope left over than you had when you started giving away hope. You can't preach hope and not have more left over. And that's why he had more loaves and fishes. He met their need. And he's going to meet your need. The first of all the commandments, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I want to just say this to us as clearly as I can. Until we do those two things, we're not going to be able to experience full-time glory. When you stop, or they stop, or the people you're trying to help stop, loving their neighbor as themselves, you can hang it on the wall. The river's going to dry up. The well's not going to have any more meal barrel. I mean, the meal barrel's not going to have any more meal in it. Because he is a God of the obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Why? because you can't sacrifice enough time to get a meal barrel going, but you obey God and God will take care of the meal barrel. But that's hard to trust God to do that. I mean, he's only held this world together for about 7,000 years. I mean, 47,000 years. 48,500. I mean, it's hard to trust God like that, isn't it? Kept the sun coming up. Kept the fish in the sea. I mean, except some of y'all been catching out of there. It's hard to trust in a God that gets the sun up every morning. Hard to trust a God that gives you enough breath to breathe all day long without any kind of machinery. Why is it so hard? Because of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's why it's hard. It's not really hard. It's just hard to kill flesh so it can't take over and make a decision for us. Somebody ought to say that's good preaching and teaching. Again, followers of Christ did not call themselves Christians. The people called them Christians because they had seen the works of the Christ. They had heard the voice of the Christ. And when these people came along acting like the Christ, they called them Christians. I don't know why people want to hurry up and call themselves Christian, getting people to judge them quick. When you tell people you're a Christian, you just gave them the right to put you right beside Jesus. That's what you call tough and rough. But that's good preaching. This year, 2019, we are going to apply. I wish somebody would say apply ourselves to being Christ so that others will say, you know what? You getting good at imitating him. You really starting to act like him, that none of these things move me. I am tied to his glory, and his glory no man can take away. You might as well try to harness the moon in the middle of the night while nobody's looking and just hide it, as to try to remove his glory. And that's what's going to be so tough, because in hell he lift up his eyes and saw what the glory was, and he had already seen it. He just didn't recognize it. Law of separation is not alone in the world. I can tell you from experience, watching businesses, watching places, they are exclusive in their operation. They're being forced in many cases to try to compete. But competition like that is only narrowing down to those people who are carefully exclusive and separated in business practices, in promotions that will absolutely be honest and pure. The law of separation is a thing that has happened through the ages. Parents cause their children to separate from would-be idiots and that kind of thing. Holiness and righteousness does not make us greater than any other human. I want us to hear this tonight, because I'm seeing let's not go there. Let's just leave it like it is. Just doesn't. Jesus died for everybody. That is the greatness of his magnificence. He loves this whole people. Now, his blessings come to those who are obedient to the law of the Spirit. But he loves everybody the same. There's not some over here that's smiled more today and God loves you so much because you did that. He's going to bless you glorifying. But he don't love anybody any more than he loves me. don't love me more than he loves everybody. He is in love with those people. My wife and I, when we went to Hong Kong and on our way to the Philippines to preach those camps years ago, we were in Hong Kong, and it was just unthinkable, the smell. And you could look down from our hotel room and see people in a cardboard box living out in the median in the street. When we were there, I have no idea what it's like now, but when we were there, the history of it was, or the story was, that if everybody came out of all those buildings at once, they would have to stack them 7 people high because so many people live there, that not everybody could come out at the same time. And God loved them up in the skyscrapers, and God loved them down in the basement, and he loved those little people living in that cardboard house. Now, his blessings come according to your level of obedience. And that unto that one God. Divide that allegiance, and you could obey 3 of his laws and 2 of the devil's laws, and you still got a mixture. Failure and pathos, confusion, and etc. I hear people all the time say, man, I'll tell you, I went to church every week for years, and God never gave me what I wanted. He said, come unto me. He'll go get you to come unto him. He'll send a preacher or a saint or a spirit to come get you. But he said, I am the bread. You're going to take of me. You're going to eat my word. You're going to have my spirit. And when you eat that, you're going to become Christ. And to the degree you receive the word, he said, that's to the degree of the power in our lives. So when people, I've been in services when they preach on how women ought to dress and how men ought to do this, and man, I'm telling you, there'd be about 4 or 5 people never jump up and down over the lost, never cry in the altar over the lost, and they jump up and down and go, whoo, yeah, go. All they're telling me is they think they're better than everybody else. When they jump and shout over standards more than the one who gave the standard, there's a problem. It's called pride. I've actually witnessed people, I already said it, that becomes what God refers to as a spirit of pride. When a man or lady has to wear a ring to prove their marriage, I'm not preaching against rings tonight. What I'm preaching against is actions that betray the ring. When you think you got to have a ring to keep somebody from hitting on you, you got a bad spirit. It's reaching way beyond the gold or silver. Because I'm available, don't happen. Unless you want it to. That'll go right past a ring or a commitment at an altar. I am yours, sweetheart. You ought to be able to have a confidence in that. If I come home with a hickey on my neck, you ought to be worried. Care how great of a preacher I am. This is no day to play games with our marriage. There's one God. His name is one, and his glory is one. And if anybody ought to be able to have confidence, it's our mate in this hour. That's one of the greatest places we can reveal his glory is in our home. Our kids ought to never have to question, is my mama faithful, is my daddy faithful? They're going to see TV shows, because wherever you go, pretty much it's all over the air. They're going to hear about all that stuff, and they're going to hear about the surprises, and they're going to look at your marriage, and they're going to see how you operate between each other. And that's one of the first places we need to let His glory be revealed, is in our marriages. Sweetheart, I'm sorry I mistreated you. They need to hear that if we do it. And they need to hear, I don't love anything more than I love you, sweetheart. Both from the wife and the husband. I don't have time to spend all night there, but that's one of the ways that we separate ourselves from the world. Satan is afraid. You hear this preacher. Satan is afraid of the blood. Not only once, but with everybody that was born again and lived in godly life, they have stomped him down. And the Bible said he hath put all things under his feet, and the devil knows where he belongs. When somebody's got a covenant with the glory and lives in that covenant with glory, I'm telling you, he is afraid of the voice of the master. And that's why we need to speak the truth in love all over our city and reveal the glory in this year 2019 like we have never revealed the glory. Don't you be worried about what they say about you. You be worried about what the devil's trying to do to your home. That's what you want to concern yourself with. You want to reveal his glory on the job. I'm going to talk the word on the job. They may not receive it, but they're going to hear it. And I promise you this, there's going to be a bunch of them receiving. We're about to see Zechariah 14. We're about to see Habakkuk, Joel, the second chapter. We're about to see Habakkuk's five-star. You saw me preach about it years ago, about those five horns that came out in that revival where those glories of the Messiah showed up. Unthinkable what's about to happen. I don't want to be on the wrong side of the fence when that's happening either. And I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to do everything I can to save your big old boy. Both of them big old boys. You growed some big old boys. The kingdom of hell cannot install hate or discouragement, and he can't thieve our victory unless we give him the space to do it. He cannot crawl across the bloodline unless we open a door and put a dark spot in the glory of unbelief or unfaithfulness to serving the Lord. That's where discouragement and fear and hate and anger and anxiety comes from. I'm telling you, all of that stuff comes when there's a door that's left open. A little bitty door to get the darkness of hell inside. I'm going to preach it so straight this year, there's not going to be one doubt about it. I am going to be encompassed with the blood, with the word, with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm going to live in the center of that circle. And if they get to me, they're going to have to first crucify him again. And he said, that's not going to happen. He said, I am come out of that grave, and I'm here now as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I sit up on the circle of the earth, and I'm going to keep on redeeming. James 2 and 19, this just affirms it. Thou believest that there is one God, you do well. Read the rest of that, somebody. Eric, you got a good strong voice. Read that last little statement. The devil's what? A wish somebody would say it loud. When you stay full of the Holy Ghost, it's not you that's going to be trembling. It's when you stay under the blood and the covenant of the Word. It's not you that's going to be running scared. I'm here to tell you that you're going to chase devils this year. And that's why he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. I'm hiding under the name. And the name and the Word are synonymous. And the Holy Ghost and the Spirit and the name of Jesus is synonymous. There is no breakage. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Here in my eye and my Father are one, and the Holy Ghost is the same. We can't afford a day to get off in the flesh somewhere. Am I preaching it strong enough? I wish some of you men would stand up and let your wives know, I think he's preaching to us. No, turn to your wife and tell her. I think he's preaching to us. I think he's preaching for us. I believe he's about to give our city some hope like we have only even dreamed of. I'm telling you that Jesus is about to come home and get the people he died to save. And it doesn't bother me if he waits another 100 years. I'm just going to look. When they put me under that grave, they're going to have to close that casket tight, because there's going to be something left. You pallbearers better get some workout done. I'd like for us to sense the many ways to glorify God and find success stories, many. Praise is one way you glorify him. If you want to turn a church service upside down in 2019, come in with your mind on Jesus instead of what you've been doing all day in the world. Walk in that door, and hopefully some of us will have extra time to go in there and pray. But if you have to come straight from the job on your way, start focusing on Jesus. And when you walk through the door, if you have to talk to somebody, say, praise the Lord, man, I'm glad you made it through the day. Praise the Lord, sir, I'm glad your wife's still with you. You say, Brother Meyer, that's nuts. I'm telling you, that's why they crucified him. He was weird. But he had a positive weird, and I want that positive weird. I want to be peculiar. I want to be a strange nation. I want to be a weird nation when it comes to identifying with what's going on in our nation. I'm here to tell you, I want that one nation, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I want it, and I'm going to preach the city full of it in the marketplaces. I'm not waiting on you to do it. I'm going there too. I'm not going to sit in some salt shaker and not be shaken out. He said, you're the salt of the earth, but what good does salt do if it stays in the shaker? Standing strong, doing good to and for others outside the kingdom. He healed the sick no matter where they were. He counseled with people no matter if they went to his hillside church and seaside church. He had two churches before he had the main church, and that was the hillside people he talked to. And then he had a seaside group he talked to, and now he had a Holy Ghost church. Let me tell you something. Our seaside church will come to the apostolic church at some point, but we got to have a seaside and a hillside church before we get them into the apostolic church. They got to start believing that this guy knows what he's talking about. This guy lives a new life. This guy, this woman lives a new way. She is so confident about her future. He's so confident about his God. There's no doubt about him not serving self. He serves something bigger than him, because most anybody would fall prey to the incidents that are happening. But that people, they don't fall prey. They really believe that he's their God. And they serve him with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's what they talk about. It's what they live for. One way to declare his glory is in offerings, in worship, holiness, or purity of heart. Activities that we do go to and activities that we don't go to. Dress and adornment. Very disciplined and conservative. Not attracting the eyes of others to our flesh, but attracting them to our spirit, our God. My God is not how I look. It's not my diction. It's not my ability to fraternize with the social elite. My God is the one that went to the cross so I could live clean. He came out of the grave so I could live powerful. He came into glory of the power of the Almighty and the power of the Holy Ghost so I could operate a home and a government that would absolutely defy the devil any passage. The devil scared to death to cross the county line. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He knows where he can get in. He knows how to discourage. If he's given the room, he's not going to get the room this year. We're going to move in on his territory. He's the one going to be running instead of the people that go to the house of God. He's the one that's going to be taking flight. We're going to cast him out. We can do it. I wish somebody would say it with confidence. Yeah, we can do it. As long as we keep him our God. As long as we serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But this is no half-hearted tea party. Not about coming here. I am training you so you can train them for the day of the Antichrist. I don't know when that'll be. But I want you to be muscled up. I want you to have such a level of confidence about your relationship with Jesus. I want you to be so distant from the world, you can't even be attracted to that world, that voice of the world. But the voice of heaven is so clear. If there's anything we need to be practicing, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are heirs. And knowing when the devil's talking and when God is talking is critical. That's why I said study the word to show yourself approved. Because the devil quotes the word, but he misuses it. Take it to Jesus in the temptation, the wilderness. The devil quoted the scripture. So it's the Spirit of truth that sets you free. There's a lot of people can quote scripture, but anytime they deny another scripture to try to press one scripture on you, they are not serving that one voice. And when we can feel free to violate one scripture, doesn't mean we're perfect. I started off trying to tell you, we need Jesus every morning. Your pastor needs him every morning. I don't try to get around that. I need him. Because I'm telling you, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And when you think you got it all conquered, you better really listen up. Because I'm telling you, this stuff gets up every morning. Because it wants to live in the promiscuity of satanic powers. This stuff identifies with Satan. The heart converted identifies with the master. I turn this flesh loose, it'll lie in a heartbeat. I turn this flesh loose, it'll go to lusting in a heartbeat. About four or five of you going to help me on that stuff. I want to say to you young people who have never studied spiritual history, I want you to get this. The Pentecostals were not the first to come up with disciplines. I'm going to tell you, the Methodists, they had a disciplined life that was unthinkably strict. The Presbyterians, the Nazarenes, I can take you to some history that will show you that they were avidly strict. Now, the oneness apostolics have continued to maintain a lot of outward dress, but they've let some things go when it comes to tail bearing. And God's more worried about talebearers and gossipers than he is you maybe not identifying completely with the dress code. I want to say it as clear as I can. Because spiritual wickedness is as idolatry. The other is a weakness of the flesh, and it's a sin against the flesh. But to sin against God is far more critical than sinning against the flesh. Now, we ought to do both. But I'm just telling you that if you happen to get in a fire and you have to run, put your husband's jeans on to go outside, put the jeans on. We're going to reveal his glory to this world. They're going to understand who we're dedicated to. We dress right, we talk right, we live right, we magnify him in our worship and praise. It's not Pentecostal praise, it is God praise. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for rescuing me. I thank you for a preacher. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I'm not about praising you, Jesus. Not easy praise, sacrifice of praise. Go a little beyond what's normal. Woo! Ha ha ha! I can't wait to get up tomorrow morning. I can't wait to embrace you tomorrow again, Jesus. I have no idea what victory is waiting on the church.
But whatever you do, don't lie. I don't care what's going on. Don't lie. That's a sin against him. That's a sin of the spirit. Don't get a bunch of junk off of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and go telling everybody until you have verified it and know they haven't repented. Because the Bible makes it very clear, if this guy does it wrong and he gets forgiveness and throws it under the blood and you start talking about it, you own that sin now. And now what he did is gone from him. He'll never pay a price for it, but your gossiping tongue will put it in your court and he will judge you according to the sin that you've been telling about.
Forget when God revealed that to me through his word. That's not me and my psychology. That's the word of the Lord. You don't want to be talking that junk. I don't care if it's about President Trump. You may not like him, but don't be telling everything you hear. It may not be true, and he may have gotten forgiveness for it.
I've got a close friend that's been to his court twice. Daryl's got a personal phone number of Mr. Pence. Can get him anytime.
I have no idea what all's going on up there. But I suspect this, that the Holy Ghost that got me out of my misery is probably trying to work on their misery.
If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's as working on them, trying to get them out of their mess as he has been us. I thank God for that. That means I don't have to be so worried about it. That the Holy Ghost I'm saying and praying to is up there working. The blood I've accepted is up there working. I'm here to tell you the blood covers the whole earth. By faith, anybody can make a contract with it.
When that is preached as a law and not a glory to God, it loses meaning. God said, I came to do away with the law. But the law of the Spirit is a totally different thing. The law, you can see vividly in the Scripture, the Ten Commandments. The law of the Spirit is,
Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, if you do those two things, you have taken care of the physical laws, because the law of the Spirit is greater. Having found fault with the law, he came and gave us the Holy Ghost and the privilege of repenting and having a love for him, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it contracts with every promise in that book. And the devil's scared to death you're going to get in on the contract. Because when the contract is operable, the blood is available. Sing unto the Lord. Sing in your car. Sing on the job. I'm sick and tired of them having the floor all the time to sing their worldly, ungodly songs in our kids' minds, and we actually sing some of those same songs in our homes when we ought to be singing about the blood and the resurrection and the power of His coming and looking for the Jesus and the Nazareth. And it ought not to have to be a law from the pulpit. It ought to be a law of the Spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and I don't want to be operating under the laws of the land. I want to be operating under the law of the Holy Ghost. Because the devil is scared to death of the blood. And when I sing about the name, and when I sing about forgiveness, and I sing about the coming of the Lord, and I sing about the glory of the Lord, I'm bringing every promise He's taught into my home, and it's covered with the blood. It's infiltrated with the blood, because you can't separate the blood from the word. And nobody's ever preached it any stronger than I'm going to preach it. But I'm not going to preach physical stuff near as half as what I'm going to preach the spiritual. I'm drawing a line in the sand as best I can. And I'm encouraging everybody to take advantage of it. Why? For great is the Lord. What would happen if our kids heard that about midway through the preaching, six or eight men would just jump to their feet and start praising God, and I'd have to seat them instead of encourage them to do it? What do you think would happen? We wouldn't be able to hold the people in here if we get as excited about this stuff. You've heard that old slogan, they'll never follow a big ice cream truck. But man, you let a fire truck come by.
Just got from the house of God, and I'm telling you, I heard a red hot message. We are in for a greater future than we've ever dreamed. What is the difference? Set a blaze in this city of hope. Set a blaze in this city about community. Set a blaze in this city. We are tied to one another. You're not talking about my brother. You're not talking about my sister. They may have some weaknesses, but bless your heart, they're putting tithe in. They're coming to the house of God regularly, and you're not going to kill them. I'm going to stand in with them. I love my neighbor just like I love myself. You're not talking about me, and you're not talking about my neighbor unless you know what you're talking about, and then we're going to still talk about it.
When anybody can have your ear to put bad news in about your neighbor and you don't break down crying, you need me preaching.
And so that's what I'm doing.
Since you have the need, I'm going to honor it. All the gods of the people are what? But only one Lord made that eastern sky. I wish about three of you men over here would stand up and point toward the east and tell your family or tell somebody around here, he's coming right through there. Brother Ronnie, when you get with Sister Billy in the morning, you tell them we talked about y'all singing this inside the eastern gate. Won't you sing a little of it right now? Can you? Halabahanda. Oh, I feel a glory cloud bursting. For you, it be too late. Sing it. Let's sing it again, man. That's it. You're doing better than I thought.
I will meet you in the morning over there. I will meet you. I will meet you. I will meet you in the morning over there.
Can I thank you for coming this Wednesday night to sense the teaching of the Spirit and feel a little bit of a unction of this preaching of the word. Tried to tell us, and I wish you would tell your friends, sometimes he teaches faster than he preaches. Sometimes he preaches harder than he teaches. Teaching is opening a door. Preaching is helping encourage you to get through it, to obey it. That's the only difference I can find. Because I've been to many camp meetings, conferences, for the last 61 years. And I'm telling you, my head is so full. I was going to write it down the other day. The people I need to praise and thank for all the stuff they've sowed into my life. And I'm telling you, you're getting the benefit of 61 years of men pouring themselves into your pastor. Around tables. Dad, mother, exampling so much of it. It doesn't make me great. It just makes all of them that much more greater as far as I'm concerned. It would be pathetic indeed if some of that didn't get in hold of me in all of those years. We didn't start this, but we're not stopping it. Those union churches, man, whoever come along with a good Bible and a little sweat on his hat band, they figured he was a good enough preacher. His Bible looked a little worn out, they'd put him in the pulpit. If he didn't do good, they'd tell him goodbye. That's those old union churches. Let's pray it right here at the end. Reveal your glory to me so I can reveal your glory through me. I want your Holy Ghost power to show. I want your Spirit to override my spirit. I want your spirit to be what they feel. When I talk, my actions, I want it to be just like you. If anybody wants to slip down to the front, please feel free to do so. We never want anybody to feel deprived of these altars. But if you're not coming to the altar, why don't you take a few minutes and shake hands that you haven't shaken in a while. Brotherhood is revealing his glory. Letting people know how much you appreciate them is a way to reveal his glory. We're going to be a more tight-knit church. We're not going to avoid anybody. Everybody's going to know they're important and valuable. Thank you for tolerating me. I know I'm preaching hard, but you got a forever future at stake, and you got an Antichrist that's already got over half the world deceived. I would be foolish to play games with a future like yours. I live day and night, to write, to touch base with God.